Hey, welcome everybody to Echo Church. So glad you're joining us today. It's a great day to be together. I want to welcome those of you at Crossroads Church, the Echo family, those of you at Western Hills Church in San Mateo. Love it also that Easttown is with us today from San Ramon. And welcome Easttown. Love you guys out there. And Pastor Clint and Michael, thank you guys for joining us today. Anywhere you're at today, you might be watching from the Philippines or from Nicaragua or from right here in the Bay Area. We're united as one, and we're grateful that you're joining us for this experience. You know, it's a pretty crazy time on earth right now. I think we would all agree. In fact, no matter where you're watching from, it's a global crisis. All of us are kind of strange right now and dealing with a lot of emotions because every time we think we're taking some steps forward with this whole COVID situation, things change again and there's more turmoil, there's political turmoil, there's racism going on, and all these conversations stir so much emotion. And I think we would even agree, regardless of your religious background today, you might be atheist or a follower of Muhammad or Buddha or a follower of Jesus. The thing that we have in common right now is we need hope. And we believe there's something so global happening right now that it's time for us to really insert hope inside of us and have a bigger perspective by which to look at this situation. In fact, if you ever wondered what it's like to live through a historical time that's recorded forever, that we're going to tell stories about, you got your wish, because someday we're all going to look back and say, hey, I got married during COVID, and I kind of graduated during COVID, and I repaired this relationship or gained this new addiction. Whatever it is that's happening now, we're going to talk about later with the next generation. This is why this really matters. Now, we're in a journey together in 1 Peter, and Peter is an apostle of Jesus. He's the one that talked so much about a way to live life, and now he's at an older part of his life, and he's basically telling us all, like giving us wisdom for living. And he wrote this letter to us, and it's hope-filled, and it's encouraging to us. And in fact, I want to start with the verse for today and give us some hope. It goes like this. The end of the world is coming soon. Well, hope is coming. It's coming. Okay, so this is not yet encouraging, but he does start with kind of a shocking statement for us. The end of the world is coming soon. And I know that we've talked about how this letter is full of hope and all this stuff, and now we're kind of talking about the end of the world, and it feels like it's contradictory a little bit. But you see, just like in our day, we say things like, hey, that's not the end of the world. And we mean something more than its literal interpretation. When Peter is saying this, he's also seen it through a lens of his contextual place in life, right? Whatever he was taught in their culture, they understood this phrase a little bit differently than we understand it today. In fact, they understood it in a few different ways. I want to give you a few of these words that they really believed and understood this sentence by. I know that right now, when you hear someone say the end of the world's coming soon, it's usually crazy people that come to your mind. In fact, I've had a couple of these lately that told me we're in apocalyptic times, that Trump is the Antichrist, and that there's going to be, the end of the world is coming, and everything is going to be destroyed, and there's a sense of fear. But here's really what Peter is saying, okay? I'm going to give you a couple things. One of the things that he's reminding them of is that we ought to look forward to the return of Jesus. So when he's talking about the end of the world is coming, there, his audience and himself, he understood that as look forward to Jesus's return. And we do know this because Jesus talked about this quite often, that there will be a day that he would come back to the earth. See, when he came physically to the earth, he left us his Holy Spirit. He said he's going to give you power. He's going to give you gifts and abilities to live the life I've called you to live as my followers. This is what Jesus said. But he did say someday he would return. But that return would be a cause for joy. It's like a child looking forward to their parents coming home that they are so excited to receive back. And it's not an occasion for fear. It's not an occasion for us to just shrink back. Those that follow Jesus can anticipate Jesus' return. Secondly, he's saying this, live in light of eternity. See, life is really short, so he's reminding us during this instance that just like if you picture a line, a straight line, and from one end to the next, it never ends. Everything before us, everything after us, he's saying you're kind of like this little slot in the middle. And you got to make your little slot count. He's reminding everybody in his audience, including us, that you know there is a limitation to our lifespan. Live in light of it all so that your life really counts. Thirdly, he's saying to us, your suffering is temporary. And this is really good news, actually. This is good news for all of us because like them, we're also living in a crisis. See, his audience was living with extreme suffering during that day. They had poverty, they had some crisis going on also in their culture, and most of all, because of being followers of Jesus, they were being persecuted for their faith, and they were suffering. And Peter is now encouraging them with this phrase saying, the end is coming soon, like there's hope at the end of the tunnel. Your suffering will come to an end. Do not lose hope. And maybe right now, you feel like this. You feel like COVID has hit you so hard that you're like, I don't know if I can make it another day. Like, I don't know if I can live with my kids like this another day or my spouse right now. We're getting into each other's nerves and it's not working out for me. I think what Peter, old man Peter, would say to you right now is don't lose hope. The end is coming. There is hope ahead. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Your suffering is temporary, especially if you look at life as a temporary assignment, which is actually the next thing that I want to encourage you to see this as. The end of the world coming soon means live as temporary residents. See, Peter already talked about this earlier in the letter. Look at what he said earlier in the letter. Let's go to that next verse real quick. In 1 Peter 1:17, he says, you must live in reverent fear of him during your life here as temporary residents. God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life. See, this word empty life and temporary residence actually go together. Here's why. Like many of you at Echo, I'm also a foreigner. I came here as a temporary resident. I'm not a permanent resident. I didn't come as a tourist initially. I came as a temporary resident. And there's a huge, huge difference between tourists, temporary residents, and permanent residents. You see, tourists come for fun. You don't need a purpose. You can just come for fun, explore the land. You can just get, you know, do whatever your heart's desire might be. It's also true in some ways for permanent residents. If you're a permanent resident and you were born in the United States, you know what's interesting is you can actually live an empty life and nobody kicks you out. You can actually veg on Netflix all day long. You can do nothing with your life and it'll be empty, but you're not kicked out. You're a resident. Now, here's the difference with temporary residents. I experienced this. When I wanted to come to this country, I had to go to the consulate and tell them my purpose. I want an F1 visa. I'm going to come study. That's my purpose. When the F1 visa ended, when I ended school, they'd say, you got to go back home unless you got a purpose. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do an internship, a residency. I'm going to learn. That's my purpose. They let me stay. When that was over, they're like, okay, you got to go back home. You got to have a purpose if you're going to stay as a temporary resident. So then I'm like, oh, I'm going to get a job. I'm going to work. So I apply for a work permit. See, temporary residents live with this sense of urgency. I got to live with a purpose. This is what Peter is saying. He's saying, if you're going to be on the earth, like time is really short. Live like it's going to end. You got an assignment. Don't waste your life. My wife and I, now we have older kids, and we started to leave them at home now more often by themselves. So they're teenagers, and we can do that. And so this past week, we were both going to be gone for a little bit of time. And so we wrote them a note of all these assignments we wanted them to do while we're gone, like wash the dishes and do whatever schoolwork and clean up whatever stuff. We left them a bunch of stuff to keep them focused while we're gone, because if they're not focused, they can do things that maybe they shouldn't, though they're amazing kids. But that we left them a note. And then when we were leaving, we said, hey, we'll be back soon. And there's a reason why we didn't tell them what soon means. Because we wanted them to feel like it could be 5 minutes or 5 hours. So the moment that you're like getting idle and you don't know, and like I'm going to look at something I shouldn't look, you're kind of like, I wonder if mom and dad are about to come through the door. See, Peter is saying Jesus will come. And our end will come. It might not be right now, but it could be tomorrow. And it might not be the end because he returned to the earth now, but we might see him or and face our Creator because our time might be gone. We might get COVID. We might experience death before we think we might. He's saying, live in light of that reality. Do not waste your life. It's really important to understand this. See, don't sacrifice long-term joy for the sake of temporary pleasure. Really important. Don't sacrifice long-term joy for the sake of temporary pleasure. He wanted us to live in light of the long term. See, the way that we post right now, don't just think of temporary. What is this going to do to my audience long term? What is this going to do in my parenting long term? The way that we make decisions, the way that we love people around us, the way we respond to our crisis while we're in this season that's so strange. What does it look like to not sacrifice the long term for the sake of pleasures short term? Really, really important. And then Peter goes on. And in our verse, he says, so the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. I love this. In fact, this word earnest and discipline, it's translated in different ways, self-control, to be alert, to be sound-minded. And it's really important to understand that when he says prayers, it's not like some people, depending how you grew up, understand it. Prayer was not meant as a religious duty, but a relational privilege. It is not meant as a religious duty, but a relational privilege. If you're still caught up in religion, I want you to know Jesus did not come to establish religion. He came to reconnect us to his Creator. He came to establish a relationship with creation. In fact, religion often becomes a barrier for our relationship with God. What he was saying here, what Peter is saying at the end of his life is, time is short. Don't walk away from your Creator, but get close to him and get close to him in a disciplined, earnest way. Like, give it your very, very best. Don't let it be a side note. I'm wondering, how is your love for God right now? Like, how much passion is burning in you for your Creator? Do you feel a little bit, like Peter said, like that empty life? Like, man, I got so many Zoom meetings. I'm so consumed with work. I'm so consumed with changes and decisions that I haven't stopped enough to process how my soul is doing. Am I connecting with my Creator? Am I understanding the bigger picture of what's happening in my life? I want to give you some tips for the journey. How to build this intimate, relational kind of prayer life with your Creator. And I want to start by just giving you some tips on daily habits. In fact, daily habits are so essential for relationship with God. This is where we gain it's like the drip system of our soul. It's where we learn to press into a relationship with our Creator. In fact, I want to encourage you, if you haven't established this habit yet, to carve out space every single day. And I'm not talking little space. In fact, most of us have more time now than we've ever had before because you don't have to be stuck in traffic a long time. You don't have to go in and about. Like, your office is three steps away from where you slept probably. And you gain a bunch of time. Don't waste that time. Set daily habits so you start your morning before you go to your phone and your email and your task, that you pick your favorite chair and you make your favorite coffee and your favorite breakfast, and you carve out space on a daily basis to get to know God as your Creator, to practice this earnest, sincere, disciplined prayer life that builds intimacy with God. Now, see, a lot of people, they don't understand how God speaks. I want to give you some tips on this. A lot of times, in fact, let me illustrate this with some Scrabble letters for just a second. A lot of people, what we do is we say, God, would you speak to me? And then we get upset at God because we don't hear him talk. Like, I can't hear God. I don't know what he's saying. But here's the truth about what we understand about God's word. God's word is alive and active, the scripture says. Okay, so if this is God's word and he's got all these divine letters inside of it and he's got inspiration and words for you and I, it's only powerful and alive when it makes it into our soul. while it sits in a bookshelf or we pull it out on Sunday morning on our app or whatever it might be, it's just there. It's powerless in itself. But when you put it inside of a soul, now it's alive and it's active. And this is what God has to work with you in communication with you. This is what his primary way of speaking to humanity is, through his divine word. And even if you're not a follower of Jesus, I want to encourage you to try this out. See, the more of God's word you put inside of you, the more he has to work to talk to you. And so if you're saying, God, I need direction. I feel like my strength is not enough. What do I do? And he's looking down. He's like, man, I got four letters to work with. I don't know how I'm going to speak to you about this. But if you've been depositing every day the word of God inside of your soul, and you're putting his truth and his word and his principles, and you're meditating on it, and you're talking to him about it, and you're building relationship with him, and then you're feeling down, like you're weak, you know what he's going to do? You're going to speak to him. God, I feel down. I feel like I don't have enough. And he's going to pull out that which you have deposited and say, you know what? My grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, I am made strong. And when your perspective of life gets small, he's going to speak to you and say, my greatness is beyond discovery, Psalm 145. And when you're feeling like you're lacking love and affection and your identity is dying, he's going to pull out the words you've deposited into your soul, and he's going to say to you, nothing can separate you from the love of God. There's no power in hell, no angel in heaven, no distance or height that will separate you from my love. And then your soul is refreshed. You see, but for that to happen, daily habit, deposit, carve out the time. I want to talk to you real briefly about weekly habits as well. See, weekly habits are an opportunity for also for us to reset. There's a reason why God established the human behavior and cycle in a seven-day rhythm. This is all the way from creation. It's because even science has proven that in a seven-day rhythm, we are the healthiest for our soul. But the seventh day is not just meant to be a day that we like binge on Netflix. It's actually an opportunity for us to draw near to God, to rest, to do things that refresh our soul, that feed us inside, to go on a prayer walk and to enjoy nature and to draw near to God and family and remember the things that matter, to pause from work so that we can remember again things that are important to us. Now, one of the most powerful of all these practices is actually what we do seasonally. Seasonal habits are almost a forgotten spiritual practice. In fact, this is so important because for the last 20 years, I can say one of the things that's most impacted my life was what I've done seasonally. And as a young high school student, this already began for me, where retreats and camps and these experiences would so greatly mold my life. And that started to become something that was built into my identity in college years, going away on camping trips with friends so that we can seek God in an extended period of time, or going hiking, or having certain experiences that are so powerful in letting me experience God outside of daily routine. I want to encourage you to do this, to go seasonal with your habits. Pastor Andy and I actually just did this last year. As we've worked at Echo, we do this twice a year. We will carve out 2 to 3 days or more to go on a prayer retreat. And last week, we went to Big Sur. And Big Sur, there's on top of the mountain there is a retreat center run by Catholic monks. It's called Camaldoli Hermitage. And it is a beautiful place. But amazing to me, as we drove down there, how so many people would stop on the side of the road to observe the ocean. And they would literally be sitting there on the rail, and for minutes and minutes and minutes, they would just have wonder come back into their souls. And they would stare into this beautiful creation. In fact, I did this myself. I went there for over an hour, just stared. See, retreating seasonally is an opportunity for wonder to resurface in our minds. You see, everything in creation is designed to point us back to God. everything, the air we breathe, the trees, the birds, every part of creation is designed with this specific purpose, to draw our hearts toward relationship with our Creator. But oftentimes we're so busy striving that the miraculous in front of us becomes neutralized and wonder is diminished. And these opportunities, the daily, weekly, and seasonally retreat, is a way for us to open our eyes and see there's beauty. There is grandness. God is greater than we think. But not just that. When you practice this, the small things begin to speak to you. Last week as I walked, I picked up a couple flowers and I just stared at them and looked at the colors and the beauty and the intricate design inside of it and how God took the time to design this so intimately. And I heard him speak to me through it and saying, this is how much I care. I'm not just the one that designed the oceans, but I care about the details of your life. Everything's meant to speak. A few weeks ago, some of our guys on staff went on a retreat similar to this, but to Yosemite. And so beautiful to watch these pictures as they stood there with this grand landscape in front of them and reminding them, and as they even as they spoke about their experience, how awesome it was to be reminded that they're so small in this great, great, beautiful nature. And in that moment, you're reminded, God is not only big, but he's present. And as we retreat daily, and we retreat seasonally, and we retreat weekly, we're reminded of the things that matter the most. See, the end of the world is coming soon, Peter says. But he also says, be earnest, see God, be disciplined in your prayer. And then most important of all, when an old man says most important of all, you should pause and say, okay, what is he really saying to me? Because this is going to be good. And he says, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. I love this. And in fact, deep love here is really significant. In their culture, they have four words to describe love. I'm not going to get into it today, but in our culture, we often use the same word for I love my shoes, I love the pizza, I love my car, I love my wife, and I love Jesus. One word. Big spectrum of things. In their culture, this deep love was this word agape. It was different than a brotherly love, which was phileo. It was different than an eros love, which is this emotional, sensual kind of love. He's been teaching them, reminding them that Jesus taught them of a love that it goes way beyond circumstance. This is the love that covers sins because it is beyond our circumstances, our situations of today. You can show it in COVID. You can show it in a dark closet. You can show it wherever you are in life. This love is what differentiates us from everybody else as followers of Jesus. This is the one that if you've already claimed to know God, God's love lives inside of you. And it's a love that allows us to forgive people that hurt us. It's the love that brings racial reconciliation. It's the love that allows us to unite though we're different. It's a love that helps us bridge relationship with those different than us. It's a love that helps us extend grace to people that we don't feel like deserve. This is the love, by the way, that made Jesus want to come out of a heavenly, divine place to come to earth and live a life that we couldn't live on our behalf so that the penalty of our sins can be upon him on a cross. And on that cross, he's still extending this love and looking up at his Father, at the very people that are hurting him and killing him, saying, Father, forgive them. It transcends circumstance. This is the love that made him say, you know what? I'm giving you forgiveness, though you don't deserve it. I'm giving you salvation for your sins. I'm covering a multitude of your wrongdoing because of what I've done for you. It's gone. The past is past. There's grace for you today. This is really good news. This is Peter saying, life is short. You're temporary residents. Live as an assignment. But don't forget what matters most. Students, this is the thing that can differentiate you from everybody else. When everyone's talking trash and bullying and paranoia, you're the one that you've experienced God so much. You can carve out your space and your day to get to know God so much that love bleeds out of you in forgiveness. Young professionals, this is maybe for you that you feel empty right now. And you know that this season has caused even more emptiness and new addictions. And God's saying, look, leverage the season in a dark place to get to know me. Take a step closer. Bring meaning back to your work. You're here as a temporary resident. Even if you're not, you're here as a temporary resident, as a follower of Jesus. Take a step toward loving deeper. Parents, maybe this is the season for you to say, you know what? I'm not going to waste it. Time is short. I'm going to invest in my kids. I'm going to get to know them. I'm going to remove these walls. I'm going to repair my relationship with my spouse. I'm going to get rid of addiction. I'm not going to settle for small sex and small pleasure and small whatever addictions that we feed ourselves in. I'm going to leverage this season and make the most of it because it counts. See, Jesus modeled this, and maybe you haven't received this call yet to take a step toward Jesus. I want to pause for a second. And if you know God is drawing your heart right now, and he's saying to you, receive my love, let me forgive you, would you respond right now? Even right here when you're just staring at me in the, through this whatever screen you're in, would you, in your own soul, in your own heart, maybe even close your eyes, would you say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I need your forgiveness. I want to turn from my sin and follow you and receive this love that goes beyond my own sin. And if you make that decision, would you let us know? On the screen here, you can see a check-in button that allows us to indicate, like, you, like today, I am drawing a line in the sand and I'm making a decision to follow Jesus. Let us know so we can resource you in that journey. If you're part of another church, let your church know so that they can help you as well. Now, it's very interesting to me how Paul spoke of this just like Peter did. He spoke of the same principles in Romans 13. Check this out. He says, these and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. And he goes into the same thing that Peter has said now. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is all the more urgent. Same thing. Time is running out. You know how late it is. Time is running out. So he's living with a sense of urgency. So remove your dark deeds. Take it away. Don't waste your life. Don't waste it on addictions. Take the step you need to take. Put on the shining armor of God's light. This is so important to understand. I want to plead with you to do this, to not waste this season. One of my favorite stories I've heard lately is the story of Norman. Norman's a 22-year-old. He came to Echo back in February before we were into the COVID season. In fact, this is Norman right here. And he came, he was struggling with alcoholism. He was struggling with anger and unforgiveness toward people in his life. And as he came in, he just got his eyes open. But then we shut down because of COVID. And someone invited him to the Hope Project. And he started connecting again with people of faith and rediscovering what it meant to know God. He had grown up in an environment where he was Catholic, but he walked away from God and he was empty. And then through this summer, in crisis mode, he went and committed his life to Jesus. And in fact, he's been 2 months sober as of this week. And yesterday, Norman took a bold step and in the waters of baptism, proclaimed his faith publicly before others. And you can see the joy in his heart, in his mind. He's still a work in progress like all of us. But this is what happens when we leverage the season for what matters the most. This is what happens when we say, God, I want to live with urgency because time is running out. Not just because Jesus might come back, but because our time is temporary on earth. We're temporary residents and our mission really matters. Not only that, but to love deeply and to let that be the mark of our lives. Don't throw away the season. Impact a coworker. Don't throw away the season. Make it count at home. Don't throw away this time right now. Invest into your neighbors, into your family members, into the relationships that are broken. Take the time to forgive, to draw near to God, to use your gifts, to activate your service to humanity, to do good. Don't waste this season. You know, we often at Echo at the end of our time, we talk about generosity. And I want to lean into this a little bit with you. Whatever church you're a part of, I want to encourage you to practice this also through your generosity. To lean your finances, your resources toward what matters the most. I've heard it often now that so many people that have jobs and don't have as many expenses are just wasting their money into things that don't matter. I want to encourage you to look at your budget and say, what does it look like for us to invest our resources into things that actually matter? And to give back to your local church, to give to Echo Compassion, to give to causes that do good in humanity. If you're part of the Echo family, I want to encourage you to do this in the link that's provided there. Go to echo.church/give. Give faithfully during the season. God will reward you for that. If you're part of other churches, give there faithfully. If you're not a part of a church and you don't yet have enough trust with a faith community, find an opportunity to practice generosity with those around you. We're going to give you some real practical ways of doing this in just a minute. So hang tight with us. We're going to have hope boxes that we're going to give to our community, hundreds of opportunities to give hope and share love with those around us. So I want to encourage you to check that out as well as we finish our time. I just want to pause for a second as we close. What's God saying to you about your daily habit, your weekly, and your seasonal? Would you take a moment to just close your eyes with me? And respond. Wherever you're at, just give it to him. Jesus, this is what I sent you say to me about my daily habits. Talk to him. God, I want to leverage the Sabbath, that seven-day rhythm to know you more. Tell him. God, I want to figure out how to plan my year so that I can experience you in deep ways through nature and bring back wonder into my life. Just tell him that. And Father, we commit this to you. Help us to live as temporary residents, urgent about our mission, and deep with our love. In Jesus' name, amen.